God, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to gather together and worship you. We're so thankful for who you are and all that you do. And we're thankful for this morning. We ask that you'd speak to us. You know what each of us comes in here carrying, and some of us are carrying some pretty heavy things. You know what our hearts need. I know they don't need more of me. They don't need more of us. We just need more of you. So I pray that your presence would be in this place, moving and stirring in us. Help us to see you. We're so thankful for Jesus, and it is in his name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome 9:30. And 9:30 here in Orangeburg and 9:30 Tremont. What's up, guys? Glad to have you joining us. I have just a couple of things that I saved for you so that we could do this all together before we jump into the message this morning. So for you here in Orangeburg, for you in Tremont, this is important stuff. We don't often take time out of our worship service to do this. So here you go. A couple things. One is on the 14th of September, we are having, is that a Sunday? Did I get that date right? Yeah. Baptism service here. Now, this is one of my favorite services of the year. In both of our locations, we'll be having baptism at all of our services. And baptism is a step that Jesus showed us and modeled for us and asked us to take. It's putting on the jersey publicly. It doesn't save you. It's not, you're not going to not get in heaven because you weren't baptized, but it's a big step in our walk with Jesus. When we come to this place where we have accepted Christ and his forgiveness for us, and we're not ashamed, and we want to live out our faith, and we're saying to the world through baptism, this is really important. This is who I am. And so baptism is an exciting way to do that. And if you need more information, you can go to gracefreechurch.net/baptism. It's an exciting time. One of my favorite Sundays. That's in 2 weeks. We have people registering. We'll take care of everything. We'll get you t-shirts no matter what location you're in. We have towels for you. You can come. We'll baptize you as part of our worship service. You don't have to speak or do anything crazy. I'll ask you one question. You just say yes or whatever you want to say. And then I baptize you. I'm really excited about it. And I hope that if you've been considering it for some time, it's one of those things that I think sometimes the Holy Spirit kind of like nudges us, and then we feel it and we're like, yeah, maybe. And then we don't for whatever reason. And then we forget about it. And then we get nudged and we're like, yeah, I should. And usually those nudges come right about now when we're doing baptism stuff. And then you kind of like let it go and it kind of fades. Why not just do it? You know, I'll be getting wet too. So at least half of me. If you don't understand how we do it, that'll make sense later. Here's another thing, right? So baptism is really excited. Next week starts our 3 weeks of showcases. We'll have ministries displayed for you to go look at in our social hall here in the lobby in Tremont. You can check out stuff that's going on at Grace Free Church. Get connected. There's so much more than just coming on a Sunday morning. There's some amazing stuff. And the best stories I hear from people about what's going on in their lives are not a result of Sunday morning church, which I'm excited about, and also I'm like sad about, because this is kind of like my space. But they come from the groups. They come from serving in different ministries. That's where the best stories come from. So I just encourage you to check it out. You don't have to commit to anything. Just find out something that's going on. Here's the last thing right before we get into the message. In October, love it or hate it, we are shifting our times from 9:30 and 11 to 9 and 10:30. Now, you may be new here, but this is how we rolled back in the day. And we made the shift to make space for a third service. And now we have plenty of space to fill. All of our services are growing still, but we have room. And so we're going to shift those because we feel like the times work out best for, most importantly, for people that we're hoping will come. People that you love that you don't think will ever come to church. And so we're a church that's for them and we're for you. And so just be aware that starting in October, if you show up at 9:30, it'll be weird. And we'll see how it goes together. Is that cool? You said that was cool, so we're just doing it. All right, so I have a message. We've been talking about soul care here for the last couple weeks, and this is the last soul care or soul reset message. We started off by talking about solitude and the importance of getting away from all the noise in our lives. We jumped in and talked about prayer and how Jesus didn't just see solitude, he also filled solitude, that space, with prayer and what that is and how to do it and how Jesus modeled it and taught us. And if Jesus did it often, how are we not just absolutely dependent upon it? If it was good enough for him and important for him and his relationship with his Father, how can we live without it? And then we talked about the Bible and we talked about God's word, and we made protein shakes on stage, and some of them had spinach leaves in them, and if you know, you know. But we talked about how you don't get strong from just eating one protein shake one day a week. It's about daily, consistent nutrition as you flex kind of your muscles and walk through life. And today, we're talking about something entirely different, and I have a guest who's going to come out. His name is Jim Sheridan, and he is the executive pastor here. And thanks for doing this, Jim.
I think you convinced me.
He didn't have a choice. No, he always has. You can sit down here. This is the table we got, right? Like, so imagine this is your dining room table. Pretty small for a dining room table.
For me, yes.
But not a lot of people want to eat with you, so it'll work. Jim's here, and Jim's getting ready to eat, right? Now, here's what I want to show you. Our tables, the tables of our lives, get filled with so much junk. I mean, we get, like, empty monster drinks and clutter we just add. You got to get up and go, right? Got to keep the train going, and then we're exhausted, so we got to refuel with some stuff, and then we're sad, so we eat Pringles and other junk food, and right, like, life gets a mess, and we try to clean up, and sometimes that doesn't work, and then we get more junk food, and then we need mints because we drink coffee and our breath stinks, and we stop at McDonald's because, well, we hope nobody sees us stop at McDonald's, but it's just how we eat sometimes. And then we need more, like, to keep going. And, like, eventually, like, our tables, they just get filled with, like, there's a ill. That's a half-eaten breakfast burrito. I found it under the seat of the Tahoe. And then, like, our lives, they just get, like, here, help me out, Jim. Like, they just get filled with, like, this is a picture of what our lives, and now you're seeing me from my worst angle. I should have planned this out a little bit better, but, like, all the running around and the clutter, and, like, this is what eventually we're so bad at, like, clearing space. This is eventually what the tables of our lives look like. They look like, I wouldn't eat any of that. I don't know where or how long that has been where I found it. So the tables of our lives get so cluttered, and we're not good at, like, taking stuff off the table. Are you good at, maybe a few of you are good at taking stuff off the table, but most of us, we just keep adding things to try to make us feel better. We keep trying to add things to fill us up, and most of the stuff that we add is junk. If it's not junk, it's still not, I mean, like, here's an empty Dunkin'. That's not junk, but it's, like, not going to sustain for very long. It runs in short windows. A monster drink, which I don't even know where that is, we'll say Diet Coke. Since when are we putting bro on cans? Like, my daughter calls me bro, and I'm like, what is going on in this world? But, like this will get you through the next 20 minutes, and then the caffeine dump will happen, and you'll crash, and, you know, we got all this. You made a mess. And all of this stuff that we add to our lives, it kind of, like, gives us little jolts and little bit of happiness and a little bit of excitement and a little bit of energy and a little bit of motivation, but we keep piling it up because it's like not enough. And then we are left with this mess. And here's the problem, right? Like, God's got something better than all of this junk we've been feasting on. Here, there you go. God's definitely got something better for you. So you go ahead with that. And you can, oh, you can't eat it. Can you all even see that? Here, like, so I don't know if you can see this. Don't touch it or breathe on it. I'm going to eat that later. This plate is a beautiful plate. My mother-in-law, I love her, but like, why'd you laugh at that part? She makes pasta from scratch. And I know, like, you're like, yeah, I ChatGPT'd that one time. No. Like, she's been making pasta from scratch forever. That's like real. I don't know if you're into Italian food, but like, this is some like homemade from scratch pasta with some Alfredo sauce, some homemade shells. We got a nice salad there. I know you eat a lot of salad. There's some vegetables in that salad. And this in the back is called vintner. Spin the plate so they can. I don't know if you people have ever heard of this thing, because I did not until I got married. And there's some days where I'm like, this is the best thing. No, I'm not. But like, this is called vintner's chicken. It is like chicken breast, chicken meat that's sauteed for hours in like a white wine, tomato paste, sauce. It's heavenly. Go ahead, have a bite. You can, maybe you need to make a little space at your table. Okay. Yeah, all right, you found? There you go, good. Don't get any whipped cream on it. Bon appetit.
Okay.
You don't have a fork.
No.
That's because, like, God's got so much better for us, and then we got no space for it. And even when we can create a little space for it, like, the fork's buried in all the trash. Thanks, Jim. That was awesome. Can you just put that in the fridge? I'm going to eat that later. Thanks. And so what we're talking about today is something that I told a friend I was going to be preaching on. And they said, ill. That's usually not the reaction you want when you're going like, hey, I got this great message teed up and this topic. I've never preached a whole message about this topic before in my life. And when I was telling this person about it, ill, I'm not going to do that. So I don't get nervous. I'm a little nervous about this one because part of me knows that as I talk about what we're going to be talking about, even though it can open up your heart and make all of this space for God to give you the better stuff that he has for me, I know that probably somewhere in your brain, when you hear the word that this message centers around, your brain or part of you might go, ill. I'm not going to do that. And you're just going to check out. And what we're talking about, what this is a picture of, besides the table of our lives, this is a picture of what fasting does. Are you ready? Neat freaks are going to have a moment here where they do not like me at all. This is what fasting does. Fasting creates space for God to fill. It's when we take our dependence off of something that we have been depending on and realign our dependence on God. And my guess is, speaking from personal experience, we fast, if at all, very, very little. But Jesus, who we've been modeling this whole entire series after, how he lived and what he showed us, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse, 6, In verse 16, he says this. He says, when you fast, when you fast. Let me go on and read the whole thing. Do not look somber like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. You know people like that. People that like got to show it that we're doing it. Like, oh, I'm going to pray extra loud so that you hear me in the next cubicle over. Or I'm going to carry my Bible around and jam it in your face so you know I'm reading it. Like, this is like kind of like the scene here, Jesus saying, like, don't be some kind of hypocrite that's going around fasting, going like, oh, I'm so hungry. And everybody's like, why are you so hungry? And like, because I'm fasting and I'm better than you. You know, don't be like those tools. He says, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put on, there's that word when again, put oil on your head and wash your face, like do some hygiene, make your hair up, get a blowout, whatever, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I don't know about you, but when a passage of that comes to mind, when a passage comes up in my reading that ends with Jesus saying, my Father's going to reward you, I'm like, that sounds pretty good. I like rewards. Do you like rewards? You don't like rewards? What's wrong with you guys? Like, I like the rewards. And here Jesus is saying, like, there are rewards when you fast. Now, here's a couple things about this assumption Jesus is making. Jesus is making an assumption that you will fast. This isn't a, hey, guys, consider fasting. It's not a, here's an idea. Those other things aren't working. Point number three, try a fast. That's not what this. Here Jesus is like, when? It's almost as if this is expected to be a normal rhythm for the children of God. And here's what's crazy. Not in our Western hemisphere, not in Christianity as it's practiced in America, but throughout time, since the beginning of time, God's people have always fasted. Have you gotten to the like, ew, I'm not doing that trigger yet? No? Good. It's not about performance. It's not about religious tradition. It's not about just giving up something for Lent every year just because you always gave up something for Lent and your parents told you that you had to give up something for Lent. So I'm going to give up candy, you know, for Lent, or I'm not going to eat. It's not about religious tradition. This is about clearing space for God, and it is personal and deep and not supposed to be a public display. It's not proving that you are more spiritual than everybody. It's supposed to be a pattern. If you're following along in your Bible and you were like in that Matthew chapter 6 passage and you literally flip back, well, maybe if your Bible is the same size as mine, flip back one page. We have this picture of Jesus who has just been baptized, something he also modeled for us, where God the Father publicly declared, this is my son, for everybody to know and everybody to see. And you may know this story, and this is just a plug for baptism in 2 weeks. It's not part of the message today. But he's ready to go into ministry, and the first thing he does is he publicly is baptized because he is now going to begin his ministry. Public display of his relationship with the Father. This is my son with whom I am well pleased, right? All that incredible, amazing stuff. And then the very next thing he does is he fasts. It says that, and I'm not suggesting this. We're not saying we're going to do a 40-day fast, right? I'm not suggesting that. But it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And that's when the tempter came to try to mess with him. And you have here, like throughout scripture, if you do a search, a rhythm of God's people fasting. Now, here's the time, here's when they do it and why they do it. You have it in scripture happening before big things, big moments, big moves of God. Jesus, before his ministry here, Moses fasts in Exodus 34 before writing God's words on the tablets for us. Like the early church fasted in all different kinds of ways before big and little decisions. They were always kind of like, and before anything big, a big moment that they were anticipating, they would fast. You see people in scripture fasting in repentance after they've screwed up something royally big. David totally messes up King David in the Old Testament, found in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel. You have this incredible story of David, right? Like a man after God's own heart. He'd done amazing things. And then he has this epic fall, which I do not have time to get into, but let's just say it was way worse than your epic fall last week, last month, probably ever. Like it was really bad. And he's confronted about the sin in his life, and he fasts and prays. You have Nineveh, after hearing the message that Jonah preaches from God to repent or destruction is coming. And what does the nation of Nineveh, who they don't even know this God, but they believed and they fasted in repentance. Nehemiah, he hears about the walls of Jerusalem falling down and God's people being in great distress and extremely vulnerable. And it says in the book of Nehemiah, I should read this one. Let me read this one if I put my thing in the right place. Okay, yeah, there we go. It says, they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. This is Nehemiah's words in the first chapter of Nehemiah. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed to God. You see people, God's people fasting before big moments. They fast in repentance. Like, man, God, I've gone off track. I've messed some stuff up. You see them fast for clarity and protection. And how many of you want more of that in life? The thing I get asked most about is like, I don't know what God wants me to do. Something's changed in my life. I don't know what he wants me to do in this relationship. I don't know what he wants me to do with this job. I don't know what he wants me to do with this schooling. I don't know what he wants me to do picking a major. Like, that's the question I think probably any pastor will tell you. We hear that question a lot. And I don't know about the other pastors in the room, but I'm always like in my head, I don't know what you should do. Flip a coin? Like, and now none of you are ever going to ask me that again. Strange that I'm okay with that. Maybe what's better would be to fast. You see, God's people fasting for clarity and for protection. Ezra, just a couple pages back from Nehemiah, says there he's also dealing with the exiles of Israel in a really bad time in their history. And he says, there by the canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before God and ask him for safe journey for us and for our children with all of our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road because we had told the king the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer for clarity. What should we do about this king and this request for protection? We got a big journey coming up. So they fasted and prayed. You see it in the early church, Acts. They had a big decision to make, and so the early church fasts, and they sensed the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul, and then, or Saul. And then if you look just a couple chapters later in Acts 14:23, they are fasting again. And those ones they fasted about before, Barnabas and Saul, are now picking and appointing elders to help meet the needs of the early church. They did it for clarity, for protection, and before big decisions. And they fasted as worship, as soul care. You know, we'll do all kinds of crazy things. How many, don't raise your hand, some of you have done some crazy things for your diet, right? Like, if you saw a TikTok video that told you to, every morning you should take some raw coffee grounds and put it in a cup and then dump a raw egg in there and then get some lemon juice and squirt it in there and put a little cinnamon on top and mix it around and drink that and you're going to lose 15 pounds in 6 days, some of you would try it. Some of you have tried it. I've tried crazy, we'll try all kinds of crazy things to get bigger, to get stronger, to get fit, to get healthier. And that's important. Like, your body is really important. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's really important to take care of it. But it's not as important as your soul. We'll do crazy things to take care of our body, but we won't fast. Ew. I'm not doing that. Though it takes care of your soul. And it's worship. Fasting clears the space for God to fill. Fasting takes your dependence off stuff that gives you a little jolt but can't really fill your soul and places your dependence back on God to fulfill and fill your soul. Real quick, Anna is in Luke chapter 2 is a great example of somebody who, biblical example of somebody who worships through fasting. It's a wonderful story. She's got an incredible part. A really cool little snippet in the Jesus birth story. Just real quick. Here's what fasting does. Matthew 6:18, it says that God will reward you. So here's some of the reward that I think, as I see it, lived out in these stories about fasting in Scripture. You with me? Here's some of it. I'll do it real fast, and the worship team's going to come out right now, and that'll keep me on track. How's that sound? That sounds good, if they're listening. Hopefully they didn't go, ew, I'm not doing that. Fasting clears distractions. And the Lord knows we have enough distractions in our life. When's the last time you even ate a meal in peace without your phone buzzing and pulling you away, your attention away? Or maybe it didn't buzz, you just had that phantom buzz in your pocket and you went. Fasting clears distractions. Fasting breaks dependence. You're dependent on sugar, dependent on food, dependent on your phone, dependent on social media likes, dependent on the opinions of others, dependent on getting all ramped up on the news cycle every time some new crazy story telling you how awful the world is pops up. Fasting breaks dependence. Fasting gives clarity. All of a sudden, I can see God's direction. I can see His plan. I can see what He wants me to do because the clutter is gone. Fasting leads to better decisions, and some of us aren't good in that department. We could use some help. And some of you have big, looming decisions in front of you. You have decisions about what job you should take, whether you should quit. You have decisions about relationships. Is this worth fighting for, or am I done? You have decisions about kids. Where should we put them? You know, what should we, not where should we put them? Like, I meant like something about school was in my head and then it just went out. So like, yeah, a school thing or a sport thing or a life thing. Some of you have decisions about money, big decisions. Should we do this with retirement? Do we need to sell that? What are we going to do to like get this budget back in line? Some of you have really big decisions. Where am I going to serve? What's my purpose? Fasting leads to better decisions. It gives you strength, which sounds crazy when you're emptying yourself of something. But what God fills the space with is stronger than whatever you filled the space with. And it's good for your soul. So good for your soul. So here's the challenge, right? Like, here's the challenge for you. Ew, I don't want to do that. Make some space on the table. Find the fork again. God's got something better for you. And you may not be able to take your arm and sweep all the junk out of your life in one swift move, but you could make a little space like Jimmy on the corner. You could maybe give up your phone every night after 5 o'clock and put it away until the next morning. You could maybe give up one meal and instead spend that time praying and reading the Bible. You could take one small thing out of your life for 24 hours or for a week or for a month and fill that space with connection with God. What if you could just create a little space? Why not? If your soul is the most important part of you, maybe it sounds crazy to fast from something, but if it is the most important part of you, it's not crazier than the crazy stuff we do for our bodies, the crazy stuff we drink. My challenge for you, and I hope we do this, is for a period of time that you decide after praying and talking with God over something that you have talked with God about that you are a little too dependent on, that you would set it aside to seek Him and create space for the better stuff that He has for you. Will you? Will you? Or will it be like let's roll on to next Sunday and see what that is about. God, we thank you so much for your example and your word and for all that you teach us about life. And I'm guilty. I have fasted, but I do not fast nearly enough. Sometimes when I fast, I pick stupid things that are so weak, like fasting from a TV show. That's dumb. And I've played this part of my spiritual journey in a lame way. And so I was greatly convicted this week. I'm greatly convicted still, Father, about how this needs to be a part of the rhythm of following you in my life. And I pray that you would be convicting others. I need the better decisions, the clarity, the space, the less dependence on stuff for you to fill it. And I'm thinking that maybe I'm not alone in that. Would you give us the courage, the strength, the conviction? Would your spirit leave us unsettled until we learn this spiritual discipline with you? We thank you that you love us anyway. You love us no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.